Hi, my name is Dr. David Ronco, and in this short and controversial video, I will reveal the tragic betrayal story of Nikola Tesla.
Well, Dr. Ronco, this sounds interesting, but how is this going to help me?
I will reveal for the first time how Tesla's patented free power device can help you slash your electric bill almost overnight.
Fantastic. I'd love to cut my fuel bill. And Dr. Ranko thinks we could all have done it long ago if Nikola Tesla, the 19th century electrical inventor, hadn't been betrayed by dark forces.
His grand plan to provide the entire world with free energy so that the people won't have to pay thousands of dollars a year for power that should be free.
Dr. Ranko thinks that Tesla was on the verge of perfecting a free energy machine that somehow sucked energy from the ether before he was sabotaged by vested interests.
His free energy plans disappeared in mysterious circumstances, never to be heard from again. For almost 70 years, it seemed like this was the end of free energy. But through a stroke of fate, an under-the-radar team of renegade scientists got hold of his original blueprints. And for the first time in human history, ordinary folks can finally power up their homes with free electricity.
Well, this all sounds completely plausible and really nothing like someone trying to flog a new version of a perpetual motion machine. There is, as we'll see, a big online community of people determined to build machines that will generate energy for free and liberate them from the power companies. But for the moment, all I need to do is buy Dr. Ranko's plans.
The Tesla off-grid generator costs less than $108 to build. And with our step-by-step instructions, building your own generator is as easy as assembling an IKEA chair. Heck, a 12-year-old could build a small generator during a lunch break. So here's the deal. If you act right now, I'll let you have Tesla's off-grid generator blueprints for a single payment of only $49. And because this website is getting hundreds of threats each week from the electric companies who don't want this technology exposed, you need to act fast if you don't want to miss out on the opportunity of a lifetime. We don't know if or when big energy will shut us down.
Okay, I bit, and I downloaded the plans. The first thing to say is that Dr. Ranko must know some pretty capable 12-year-olds. To start with, I apparently need to machine a thick 4-inch diameter aluminium disc, which will spin very fast. I have to embed 12 powerful magnets in the edge of the disc, and then there are some complex coils of copper wire I have to wind, and a lot of electronics to build. And there are two car batteries. You run the machine from one of the batteries, and it charges up a second battery. And get this, you get more electricity into the second battery than you draw from the first. I took the plans along to Dr. Steve Burrow at Bristol University Engineering Department. What's your impression of...
I think it looks quite fiddly to build. Quite a high level of DIY is required. Potentially quite dangerous.
Why dangerous?
I think there's potential for creating high voltages. I think I certainly wouldn't want a 12-year-old let loose with these.
But how are we going to get power out of this, do you think?
At the current moment, I'm not really sure.
Dr. David Ranko is also vague about how it's supposed to work. He says that his machine draws energy from the environment, which gets turned into electricity. But this is supposedly quite unlike conventional electricity, he says, although he doesn't say how, except that it's cold electricity. Steve Burrow is an expert in harvesting energy from the ambient environment, like waste heat or vibrations from machinery.
There isn't really anything within conventional theory to support what they're suggesting. They seem to be implying that somehow the magnetic field that they create will be augmented by something that is in the ether, if you like.
It's energy drawn from the environment. I mean, that is your business, drawing energy from the environment. But is there any energy you can think of that they could be drawing from the environment?
No. It doesn't look like it should work. I think if you had the skill to make it, you would probably know better.
Well, he's wrong there. Actually, I think I do have the skill and don't know better. I've been making electronic gadgets since I was a child. I've got a fairly well-equipped workshop and a stubborn nature. All the same, it took me several weeks to finish making the Tesla off-grid generator, but when I hooked it up to a car battery, nothing happened. I took it back to Steve Burrow.
Well, hopefully we'll have a little look at it and see what appears to be happening and see whether we can at least get it to spin.
We hook it to some seriously impressive diagnostic equipment in the University Avionics Lab. We spent 2 days fiddling with it.
We have got it where it might work. And Steve is pushing it and, oh, it's stopped. It's not exactly perpetual motion, intermittent. Oh, it's moving. It's moving on its own.
It's a start. We can now try and see whether we can get it to work as the instructions intended.
And then it stopped.
After a few more hours and some modifications to the electronics, we seem to have got somewhere.
We found one or two faults in the construction.
Not entirely my fault, I'd say. There was a few things which were quite ambiguous in the instructions.
No, absolutely. They didn't specify which way around the polarity of the coil should be or the trigger circuit. We've also found that there's a flaw with the instructions that you're given, so we've had to modify that, and it seems like it might be rotating now.
You're going to spin it by hand to get it started.
It's away.
It's going around. It's actually getting faster. It's nice to see that it works. It's kind of really... Oh, my God! Well, what happened there was one of the coils broke off. Do you know what else has happened? We've lost a magnet.
We have. I think that was what went, a magnet.
Oh, dear. A magnet has come flying out. So, stronger glue, I think. Well, it's been quite interesting, hasn't it? Is it interesting?
I think we've managed to make a very crude synchronous motor.
I patched it up and got it going again. But was it generating free energy? As far as I could tell, no. The current being drawn from the drive battery was more than the currents going into the charging battery. Meanwhile, I discovered that Dr. David Ranko was not the honourable and philanthropic citizen he'd appeared to be. It turned out he'd stolen the plans, word for word, from a free energy website. I started to doubt whether Dr. Ranko was even his real name. When I emailed him for an interview, he didn't reply, although my $49 was refunded without comment. But he still emails me regularly with plans for other free energy devices. So, where did my machine come from? It turns out I built a bit of a classic, what's known as a Bedini machine. John Bedini was an American free energy enthusiast who died unexpectedly, some people think suspiciously, a year ago. One of his designs has been published by Patrick Kelly, a retired civil engineer who puts it on his website along with over 100 other free energy devices, many of which look like classic perpetual motion machines. Patrick is convinced that energy is out there just for the taking.
We are surrounded in the entire universe by a massive energy field.
In the free energy world, people talk a lot about zero point energy.
Zero point energy is an all-encompassing, enormously powerful energy field that we live in. We're immersed in energy.
So do you think that all free energy machines are tapping into this zero point energy?
Yes, indeed, very much so.
Scientists will tell you that the idea of doing this contravenes a number of scientific laws, particularly the second law of thermodynamics.
The second law of thermodynamics is total rubbish. These so-called laws are lies that they've told repeatedly so often and so long that people accept them. The universities and schools are required to teach total rubbish.
So do you think there is suppression of this knowledge?
Oh, there's no question. It's absolutely true. The people who sell electricity and so on don't want us to know about it or to use it.
So do you think that people who do this are putting themselves in danger?
One of the techniques they have is to bump off people they don't like.
Do you think I'm in any danger?
Well, it depends on the BBC and the people who control the BBC.
How?
The BBC is supportive of the people who are suppressing this information.
I don't know where the BBC stands on free energy, but, I mean, the idea of energy independence is quite appealing, and I bought some plans off the internet.
Yeah.
Do you think this is a machine that can produce more energy than it consumes?
Yes.
Where's the energy coming from? And how does it work?
It's coming from the zero-point energy field.
So this is pretty much following your design.
Yes. Well, from Pugh's, yes.
We've got a driving battery and a charging battery. Let's just see if we can get it going. Now it's running.
Well, that should certainly work.
So what we can see here is it's drawing about an amp, and it's putting out about a third of an amp.
It doesn't work like that, but anyway.
Well, it looks to me like I'm getting much less out of it than I'm putting in.
Yes, it does look that way, but it isn't. You run it for some time. Let's say you run it for an hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours.
Suppose I ran it until it was flat and the thing stopped moving, and then swap the batteries round.
Yes, you can do, and it works very well.
So you can keep swapping the batteries round.
Yes.
And you'll end up with two fully charged batteries at the end.
Well, not fully charged, but much greater charge than they started with.
So I think you'll end up with two flat batteries.
No, you don't.
Oh, yes, you do. However, I tested it, my machine was consuming more electricity than it was producing and efficiently flattening my batteries. And while we're at it, there's no evidence that Tesla was working on a free energy machine or that my machine had anything to do with Tesla. The bottom line is, I wasn't harvesting zero-point energy. But does zero-point energy really exist? I went to see Brian Clegg, author of The Quantum Age.
There is energy out there, and the reason it's called zero-point energy is that it is the lowest possible level of energy.
So zero-point energy is not completely a myth. Even empty space has got some energy in it.
Definitely. Quantum physics basically tells us that at any point in time, the amount of energy, even in totally empty space, is usually not zero. It fluctuates, and if you have a very small gap in time, the amount of energy in a space is not going to be zero, it's going to be something between zero and something else. The problem is that we can't actually do anything with it. With energy, to make use of it, you have to have somewhere else that's got less energy even than the energy you're going to use. And there is not that lower place to get. So, for example, if you're on a mountaintop and you let some water go, it runs down the mountain, it can power a water wheel, you've got energy from the height. But if all your surroundings on your mountain are all at the same level rather than lower than you, you can have as much water as you like and you won't generate any electricity because it's not going anywhere. You have to have somewhere that's at a lower level of that energy to get to use the energy that you've got.
But this just seems defeatist to lots of people, like Graham Corrie, who's known on free energy forums as Grummage.
I've never thought that anything's impossible. And the laws of physics are man-made, really.
Are they?
I think so.
They're there to be broken?
If possible.
Graham's a retired engineer. He lives in a damp cottage in North Wales, and he mainly cares for his disabled wife. But his passion is free energy. He's one of an army of enthusiasts online, posting videos of their free energy machine and swapping notes. The holy grail for them is a so-called over-unity device.
I'm considered one of the builders, and that's it.
You're a member of something called the OU...
Over Unity Research, which is a close-knit forum, running at the higher kind of level of research, if you like, because there's physicists with us, and then there's people like me who can do the building, you see.
Did you say close-knit?
Well, yes, there's only about 134 members, you see.
Is it an elite group, would you say?
I would say so, yeah.
I'd taken my under-Unity machine to Graham's cottage.
What do you think? What do you think of this?
Well,
tell me you're impressed.
I am. It's very well done. As I say, there aren't many people in the UK that are building.
This qualifies me for an elite membership.
Oh, yes, I would say so. It's very good.
Well, we could run it in a minute. That'd be lovely.
Graham had already built his own Bedini machine more successfully than me.
This device ran on its own battery for 3 months before I actually switched it off. And the battery voltage stayed the same for 3 months solid. So I could say, yes, we had a success. It maintained itself for 3 months.
So how do you account for that?
The fact that it actually works.
So that sounds like a perpetual motion machine.
Yeah. It was pretty good, I've got to be honest. That was probably the closest thing I've had to, you know, over Unity.
Wait, do you think it was producing more than it was using?
Well, it couldn't drive anything else. It just drove itself, so it was, should we say, it was unity.
But you would have been getting friction, wouldn't you? Yes,
friction with bearings. And
so the fact you overcame the friction and it kept going, that is an over-unity machine, isn't it?
Yeah, well, possibly, yeah.
There's no possibly. If Graham's machine was, as he says, he was breaking some fundamental laws of physics. Unfortunately, he's dismantled it. But he's been building a new one, going back to basics and reconstructing one of Bedini's early models.
Yeah, right, we'll run it up to start with.
Okay, so, oh, so it kicked it. Okay. Now then, we'll put the feed back on.
Now, it would be nice to see that battery coming up.
Oh, it's going up a bit, yeah. It's gone down again.
I mean, these things can take months to tinker with. No, she's dropping.
It's going down.
It's going down. Never mind. Battery volt's just shot up by a volt.
Okay, you're trying to run it from a battery and charge the battery at the same time.
That's right, yes.
And with luck, you'd see the voltage in the battery go up.
Yes.
But it, I have to say, it isn't really, is it?
No, it isn't. No. But, say it's early, yeah.
If it's going to work, shouldn't somebody have... I mean, this has been going on for a long time now. Surely it should be working by now. We shouldn't always just be on the verge of it.
I know.
A bit more tinkering.
Well, no, this is it, and I mean...
Are you not sort of tempted to give up sometimes?
Yeah, and then we start again.
Why are you doing it? Is it just pure interest?
I would honestly like to be able to reduce my home energy bills. I want to keep this house warm and dry.
Would you say that my experience is typical of people who make these things? I mean, you can make a motor, but I haven't produced... I'm not producing more than I'm getting out of it.
No, no, well, that's...
That's the normal...
Sadly, that's what most people find, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We keep going and always seem to fail, but maybe we're getting close.
There's always a reason for hope, then, it seems to me, in your world.
Yeah, yes, indeed. I think so.
What also seems to keep people like Graham going is that there are examples of people who've succeeded and made useful energy from their machines, allegedly. But they're elusive. In America, an engineer and skeptic called Eric Krieg has been trying to flush them out.
Starting in 1996, I offered, and still offer, a $10,000 prize for proof of free energy. By free energy, I mean violating the known laws of physics. And I would expect a kilowatt of power going continuously for 24 hours in my presence, much more than just a videotape.
Do they have to bring it to you, or will you visit them?
My preference would be for someone to bring one of these machines to my house and allow me to run it for 24 hours and also to inspect the innards of it enough to be able to rule out any battery or conventional source of power hidden within it.
How many people have taken you up on this?
No one has gotten to the point of actually bringing a device by my house yet. Many people have told me, I don't have time to show you this device. I'm working on mass production. Once I have it made, just buy your own from Walmart and send me a check. I'm still waiting for that.
I tried to get a name from Patrick Kelly.
If I wanted to see somebody who had a free energy machine that was definitely working, that was producing useful energy, who would that be? Is anyone in this country?
The answer to that is probably yes, but I'm not sure that I would necessarily want to put it out on your radio broadcast.
You think there are people who are managing this?
Oh, there are, yes, yeah.
So if you succeed, you tend to keep quiet about it?
If you're sensible and succeed, then you do tend to keep quiet about it, yes.
You don't try and make money out of it?
No. Trying to make money out of free energy devices is a recipe for disaster. Nobody has ever succeeded in doing that. The opposition is just too great.
One example Patrick cites in his book, and it's a famous one, is a man called Stanley Mayer. Up on a hill in the Welsh borders in a mobile home lives Dave Lawton, who used to be a technician at Bristol University Physics Department. Dave told me about Stan Mayer.
He was an American, and he claimed to have built this water fuel cell and a VW boat buggy that ran off water.
You run it off water? You don't put water in the fuel tank, presumably?
He puts water in the fuel tank and converts it to hydrogen. He was claiming he was getting 1,000% over unity.
The idea was to pulse electricity through water, which would produce hydrogen, which you could use as fuel. crucially, the energy in the fuel would be more than the energy in the electricity you'd use to produce it. Back in the 90s, Mayer got a fair amount of publicity. His car appeared on BBC Breakfast News.
For years, motorists and engineers have been searching for a cheap and abundant source of fuel. None of the alternatives to petrol has so far proved practical. An American team hopes this could be the answer, a car that runs off water.
The growing world energy gap, oil can't keep up with that. So why not make better use of the resources we have and actually let oil be used for more important products, not so wasteful.
There was also a Channel 4 documentary, which Dave Lawton saw, and it encouraged him to have a go himself.
I started experimenting with a very, very small cell and found I could get over-unity about nearly 300%.
You were getting three times as much energy out?
Yes.
Have you still got it?
I have still got it.
Can I see it?
Yes. I'll go and get it. That is the small test cell.
Okay,
which I achieved over unity with.
Piece of plastic with what's
they're pill boxes. And the stainless steel tube is the handles of kitchen utensils.
Okay. So this hydrogen started coming off?
Yes.
And you were sure you were getting more hydrogen than you should have, really, according to the laws of physics?
Yes.
You were producing free energy?
Yes.
You're sure of that?
Yes.
Unfortunately, when he tried to scale it up, the device started getting too hot. But Dave didn't give up. And what happened next has become notorious in the free energy world. Grummidge, who'd already told me a version of it.
Well, I thought, well, I'll apply for some money from the Welsh Development Agency. I had a phone call from them saying that someone would be coming round to visit me.
Up here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And two people came round in a black car, a man and a woman, wearing black suits. I said, would you like a cup of tea? And they said, no, we couldn't possibly have a cup of tea. We've come for your documents. And they took my documents away.
Did they give their names?
No.
Are you sure they weren't just civil servants from the Welsh Development Agency?
No, because I waited a week, rang her. I said, who are these people? And she said, I couldn't possibly tell you. And I said, could I speak to them? Could I have my documents back? I had them back eventually.
They sent them back?
Yes.
So a man and a woman turn up and they ask to take your documents
away.
Well, I mean, you're applying for a grant. Is it reasonable to see the documents you're basing it on? And then you get them back?
I get them back eventually, yeah. But they were so, I don't know, something odd about them. Like, no humour. I offer them a cup of tea. Really.
Okay, two humourless civil servants who don't want to drink tea.
No, yeah.
Borrow your documents.
Yeah. Yeah. But who were they?
Who do you think they were?
I don't know.
But there's more. Admiral Tony Griffin of the Royal Navy had been one of the people convinced by the possibility of fuel from water.
Tony Griffin was really into Stanmayer's water fuel cell because it would be useful for the Navy. Plenty of water. They were going to set up research and development. And he was going to give a talk at the House of Lords Transport 2000 Committee and drops down dead of a heart attack. He may have had a heart attack, who knows.
Griffin was a mere 75. And what of the original inventor himself?
Stan Mayer was having dinner with his brother in a cafe and he takes a bite of food and claims I've been poisoned, pushes out into the car park and drops down dead.
Was there an inquest?
Well, there was an inquest and I don't know the result of the inquest.
In fact, the coroner found that Mayer, who had high blood pressure, died of a brain aneurysm. And none of us are yet putting water in our fuel tanks. The trouble with the Mayer theory is that nobody's managed to get it to work. There are no cars running on water.
Car that ran on water was Stan Mayer's.
So he said. There were people who invested in Mayer's company and lost their money and took him to court and won.
Yeah.
And the court effectively said that this is hocus pocus, this Mayer technology.
Well, maybe. Or maybe not.
And so it goes. I heard of a man called Romero. He's created a free energy machine not that different from mine that was capable of powering a light bulb. He'd posted videos about it and full details about how to make it on a free energy forum. Other forum members rushed to make their own version, but then disaster struck. Romero's YouTube account disappeared and his personal website went down. Romero posted a message on the forum. "This was a big fake. Stop replicating. This is my last post." But had Romero been hoaxing everyone? He then wrote an email to someone big in the free energy world. He said he no longer had the device. It had probably been destroyed. He'd had warnings from powerful people to keep quiet and a personal visit. He was bailing out because he couldn't handle the stress it was causing him and his family. So was he a hoaxer? Or was he pressurised into pretending to be one? I asked Graham stroke Grummidge about Romero.
He was visited.
He was visited, and then what happened?
He was told to stop.
Who do we think visited him?
Well, the forums call them the MIB.
Men in Black.
Men in Black, yeah.
Do you believe in them?
I don't know. I wouldn't like to say. I've not been approached by one.
And did he stop?
He did, yes.
Because I've also heard the theory that actually he was rumbled, that he was about to be unmasked as a fraud.
That's
right. I mean,
right.
It's easier to save face to say mysterious people came and stopped me.
Yeah.
Rather than...
That's true.
...submit yourself.
Yeah.
I've no doubt that Graham does believe in the Men in Black, even if he doesn't want to say so on tape. I don't think it makes much sense. There are lots of nations with no natural energy resources, Japan, say, that would love to find a way to harness zero-point energy. They're not in hock to big oil. Nor am I convinced that unlimited free energy would necessarily be a good thing. Imagine what armies might do with it. But in the end, I tend to agree with the sceptic, Eric Krieg, that if you put aside the scammers, the free energy enthusiasts are basically good people.
I think most of them are sincere. They may not be classically educated, but a lot of them are really good craftsmen. They're very creative. And let's face it, they think outside the box. And that kind of person is also the kind of person that creates new companies and new opportunities. But unfortunately, their lack of knowledge about physics makes them go after problems that can't be solved, so I kind of hate to see them waste a whole lifetime, but I can appreciate the dream of being able to change the world for the better.